My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Field recordings, found sounds, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelstreet.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks.
On WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by The Highway Drive-In, a four-screen drive-in movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. Information and schedule at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Julia's Local of Round Top, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 25th. Local early morning temperatures range from 65 degrees in Steventown to 15 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 73 degrees. Air quality today will be moderate. Pollen levels, being grass generated, will be medium. Heat advisories are out once again. Yes, it's going to be hot. We get a high of 89 at 1 p.m. That brings about some instability, and some of us will see rain and possible thunder. And that should all wrap up by dark. Overnight, temperatures dip to 68 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry and partly cloudy with a high of 89 at 4 p.m. Overnight, the mercury slips to 67 degrees, taking us into a rainy-looking Sunday with a high of 80. Monday, high of 91, maybe some rain. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:46 a.m., low tide at 10:43 a.m., high tide again at 4:22 p.m., and low tide once again at 10:44 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 84 degrees, and the tide strength is high. Sunset today will be at 8:09 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:38 a.m. Keep in mind, those times are adjusted for the mountain's impact on our daily schedule. Looking way up, we see an Hadouken was launched recently and is expected to cause G1 level magnetic storms on Sunday. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 542 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S2 level noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 137. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Friday Afternoon Update. I'm Mike Clifford. Worried they could face a difficult 2026, Republicans are taking steps now to shore up their House majority, even if voters turn against them. That from the Washington Post. They report party leaders are redrawing congressional districts in Ohio and starting this week Texas to strengthen their narrow majority, blunting the possibility that Democrats can win the seats they need to take control of the House. The Post notes the most immediate battle unfolding in Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott called a 30-day special session to provide flood relief and, at the urging of President Trump, established new maps that could give Republicans 5 more seats. Meantime, New Yorkers statewide are planning Families First protests this weekend. It's another national response to the numerous cutbacks, layoffs, and federal policy changes that mark the first 6 months of the latest Trump administration.
One focus will be on the impending impacts of the federal budget mega bill. Families are determining how to handle the expected cuts to safety net programs like Medicaid and SNAP. Michael Shimidas is on the Columbia County Board of Supervisors, where he predicts farming communities will face additional impacts.
So for farm communities, a huge portion of our county is farmland, but the bill really moves money to giant agribusinesses rather than supporting small farmers. It really prioritizes giant corporations over small businesses.
Some farmers worry how the budget mega bill will affect negotiations for a long-awaited farm bill in Congress. The new budget isn't all bad news for farmers, since it raises what are known as reference prices for commodity crops and provides a better safety net if they fall below a certain minimum. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And more than 250 students from across Ohio gathered at the State House this week for a National Day of Social Action.
Jake Streeter, who heads the Cleveland Freedom Schools of Ohio, says his young scholars are encouraged to speak up about issues affecting their lives, and education funding is at the top of the list. He says the goal isn't just to be heard, it's to inspire others to speak up and take action.
They will present their arguments and their perspectives, as well as their solutions, which will also be broadcasted live, not just so their voices can be heard, but so that other youth can be inspired to make sure that their voices are heard on this topic, as well as other topics that are to come.
Organized by the Children's Defense Fund, he says the Freedom Schools program blends reading, cultural identity, and civic leadership. This year's theme for the National Day of Social Action is Public Education is a Public Good. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Next is House Fires Rise Nationwide. Researchers at Michigan State University are working to make buildings more fire-resistant. Venkatesh Koder, who leads MSU's first-in-the-nation center on designing fire-resistant structures, says modern homes are at greater risk than homes built in the 70s and 80s.
In fact, we did a project with the Underwriter Laboratories to show this. Even the structural materials we use in modern houses are much more vulnerable.
In 2023, over 120 Michiganders died in more than 100 house fires. That's an 11% more fires than the state's five-year average. And every day, there are more than 900 house fires across the country. This is Public News Service. Healthcare workers in Massachusetts will join a National Day of Action tomorrow, calling for an end to federal policies they say harm children and families.
Hundreds of thousands of residents are expected to lose their Medicaid and SNAP benefits following cuts to social safety net programs in the recently passed federal spending bill. Marlisha Aho with 1199 SIEU United Healthcare Workers East says the state is bracing for nursing home closures, job losses, and fewer available services.
We need to invest in healthcare, not cut. And so we are really incredibly worried about what this means to care in Massachusetts for everyone.
Backers of the federal budget say spending cuts were needed to ensure an extension of the 2017 tax cuts. Aho says last year's financial collapse of Steward Healthcare already put the state in a fragile position. Rallies are planned tomorrow in Boston, Worcester, Pittsfield, and several other locations. I'm Catherine Carley.
State officials say total cuts to Massachusetts federal health care funding could top more than $3 billion annually and will have significant ripple effects. Roughly 58,000 Wyomingites and 63 million Americans provide ongoing care to adults or kids with medical conditions or disabilities. A new report says that is a 45% increase since the year 2015.
The new AARP report shows the average caregiver spends 27 hours per week on caregiving tasks. AARP's CEO, Myesha Minter-Jordan, notes that caregiving can impact a person's finances as well as their physical and mental health.
We need systems that see caregivers, value them, and support them because they are not just helping families. They are holding up our entire healthcare system.
Minter-Jordan says AARP is advocating for a national paid family medical leave policy, workplace protections for caregivers, federal tax credits, and access to respite care, training, and support services. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
And Minnesota's smaller school districts are preparing for another year of doing more with less.
Joe Gould teaches social studies in Cass Lake, and this week he's in Washington, D.C. for conferences led by the American Federation of Teachers. He's also sharing his views about budget constraints with the state's congressional delegation. His district only has about 1,000 students and gets most of its funding from the state and local property taxes. But federal funding helps cover needs like special education, and Gould says that has been inadequate.
For a long time now, the federal government has not been living up to its promise for fully funding special education in our schools.
As needs grow, smaller districts have a hard time maintaining special ed staff because larger districts offer higher pay. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Remember, endless to support it. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello, you are listening to WGXC Akron, 90.7 radio for open ears. I'm Simone Stevens with the Friday afternoon show. Welcome. I'm so very excited to have my lovely friend and community member, Tom McGill, here, who is co-owner and also co-curator of the Circle 46 Gallery, a beloved place to myself and the community, as well as Mark Allen from HUD TV.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Simone.
Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Simone.
So, Tom, tell me a little bit. What's new at Circle 46? What's happening? What's up now? I know you guys work together a little bit at Circle 46 Gallery, right?
Yes. Well, what's going on in the gallery right now is Mark is doing a residency, and it is the new home of HUD TV. A long-standing pillar of TV in the Hudson area. And so we're really excited to have them in the building. So they're going to be inhabiting half of the gallery space, and we're going to continue to curate the other half for shows going forward. And as you know, Circa 46 Gallery is in 46 Green Street Studios. And we have, you know, artists and other craft people who rent with us and, you know, do creative mix.
Yeah, you have somebody who makes violins in your building.
Violin makers, and they repair violins. We have the Jacob Leisler Institute, which curates historic documents from early colonial New York.
Wow, how did I know? I guess we wouldn't know that because they're just working sort of secretly in their little studios.
Well, they have two studio spaces, and they are available for people who are doing research in early colonial New York. So David Voorhees is the, I guess, the director, and he started this project when he was teaching at NYU, and he came up here in his retirement and moved the project up here. So he's developing it and building it to continue past his stewardship of it, and we're happy to have them there. They did a show, I want to say last summer, that highlighted some of their holdings and some of their research. And he just reached out to me, and they're hoping to collaborate with us again next summer to do a show that celebrates the 250th anniversary of something.
Okay.
And that thing is something I don't remember.
Okay, I love that. Sounds fascinating. Yeah. So I am going.
There's a T-shirt. Yeah.
You have to come to find out what that thing is.
No, I bet you. I bet so many people are now putting that on their calendar as we speak.
Yes.
That you could not have gotten people there in a more effective way.
Yep.
I think, you know. Yeah. But also, I have to say, you are also an artist. Your art has been shown in Circle 46 as well, which I am an artist.
Yes. Thank you. I oftentimes would prefer not to show my own gallery, but I'm happy to do work in group shows. But my partners in the gallery, Dave and Bob, have generously offered me a couple of solo shows during the 12 years I've been here, and they were exciting to do. It's exciting to be able to share my work. And also Hudson and the Hudson area has so many creative people. It's great when people come in and we get to interact and, you know, build on each other's creativity. So I feel really lucky to be in Hudson.
I first met Tom through his artwork. I was like, who is making these wild, like, monochromatic paintings that some of them are like Trompley old manhole covers and strange things that reminded me of Rod Serling's Night Gallery, you know, this kind of retro look, but also very modern. And I was like, who is this guy? And then I finally met him. This is years ago. We met a long time ago, right?
A long time ago.
Yeah, Tom. And so I have seen some of his shows at Circle 46 Gallery, and they're great. And also, Tom, you should talk about your T-shirts that everyone's wearing, the no-wear things.
I have one.
Yes, yes.
And I will buy another.
Yeah.
So,
well, Pauline DeCormo and I had an idea to create a design apparel line around the word and concept of no. we feel that really everybody should be able to have their own no.
Yeah.
And so, you know, without going into a sales pitch, we really are enjoying finding different no's that people can connect with and might resonate with them.
Well, and it's also interesting because we sort of entered into the era of self-help, which I guess has been going on for, what, about 20 years since Barnes & Noble first opened up the whole section. But, you know, where you could just stroll and it was bigger than the literary fiction section at a certain point. And everybody says, say yes, say yes, say yes. That's the whole thing. Oh, you just got to say yes in improv, yes and. But there is this power, and I love the way you put it, helping somebody find their no. It's okay to have a no.
Yeah, and it kind of resonates with me in as much as, you know, based on my early trauma and life experience, finding boundaries is really difficult for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding a way to create boundaries that are healthy for both me and other has been really a fascinating experience. And I think, you know, not taking no personally and being able to share no without making it personal is an interesting concept to play with. I think in this cultural context, if you say no, it's sort of stigmatized.
It's a bad thing. It's like a bad thing when somebody says no to you. Like, it's assuming you've done something wrong or you've stepped on a line, over a line.
So you're saying we should say yes to no.
Say yes to no.
Say
I'm not
yes.
saying no means yes. But maybe we should...
I'm having flashbacks to 1995 at WHAM meetings at ACT UP subcommittees.
Oh, my.
He'll even make custom no shirts for you. I requested one. I said, I want just no with nothing on it. And just N-O, no period.
Oh.
And they did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous. Wow. I love wearing it around town. You can just point to it when anyone asks you a question.
Yeah. And actually, you can, for all information, for designs, DMs, questions, are they going to go to Tom McGill Art, your Instagram? Can we tell them where to go?
Well, I have tom.mcgill.art Instagram.
Okay.
But we also have a /close Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're calling this line no clothes.
Right.
So wear no clothes or nothing. I'll check.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I believe the Instagram account is no clothes.
Yeah. So I like the idea of custom, too. You have your own sort of select phrases, but somebody can say, you know what, I've discovered my no, and this is what I would like to have on my T-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, Pauline and I are both designers, and over the last 2 or 3 years, I've been teaching myself how to screen print. So I can create, you know, we can create a no if it aligns with our...
Right.
Idea of no.
Yes, exactly.
Like, we're not, you know, I'm not going to make everybody's no.
I might
say no to your no.
I think you also have people coming to you with like, okay, I need my wardrobe of no clothing for work.
Mm-hmm.
There are different no's there. I need my no T-shirts for home, for my partner, my kids. So
or they're going to come to you and say, you know, I'm going to the Met Gala this year and I need a no gown, Tom McGill.
Yes.
That I might say yes to that.
You might say yes to that. You're going places with this.
You are. You said something that was interesting, too, and it was, you know, said you had struggled with boundaries, and that's why this kind of fascinates you, the idea of having your no, finding your no, being okay with your no.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing your art as well, I wonder, is there anything, any through line with your precision as an artist, like your fine lines can be seen as boundary. A canvas is provides boundaries. Like you are very meticulous in your imagery at times, not always, but.
Yeah. I'm trying to find what resonates with the no. I think, you know, part of what does is the way we, Pauline and I evolved the idea.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my art is a combination of planning and process.
Mm-hmm.
So I might plan to do something, but sometimes the process reveals, you know, sort of a detour.
Changes the plan.
And it ultimately the product is a result of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. To a certain extent, I've always been kind of a perfectionist, like when I was a contractor and a furniture maker that really served me well. But mm-hmm. also, I didn't make any money at it because, you know, it had to be right?
Yeah.
It had to be right for me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's been nice to let go in terms of that and the artistic process is there's not really a perfection, mm-hmm. per se. And it's been curious to explore, like, screen printing, because we see screen printing on clothing is so crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm painting and using stencils for figurative work, it's my intention not to be that crisp.
Mm-hmm.
It's to have, you know, overspray happen, to play with a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been interesting to be able to play with something that's a very precise medium,
mm-hmm.
and to allow my take on it to not be precise.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Yeah. I love the idea that the end result is where the plan and how process changed the plan
mm-hmm.
meet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of trust and faith to let that happen. It's no small thing, I think.
Yeah.
And Mark, you are an artist as well, a local artist. How have you done a project? I've seen it, I'd love for you two to more delve into the last show that you were in together.
Well,
no. No, I'm just kidding.
We had a show
I respect
called
that.
Entanglements that we invited couples to share their work.
Oh, right.
And share the way in which their work may or may not have been influenced by their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark and Will were kind enough to participate in that show. And
so with that,
yeah, Mark,
with that show, yeah.
Will,
so
Will's work and your work.
Sure. So the show was called Entanglements. Like you said, it was a group show of couples, and it was kind of exploring how art couples have throughout history and locally, you know, worked together. And so my partner, Will McLeod, and myself created he does fabric work. He makes these giant sculptures that look like paintings, and they're sewn fabrics mm-hmm. together. He actually has a show right down the street right now. But
Where is it?
Hands on Main Gallery.
Oh, nice.
Right there. It's like 50 feet away.
Hey.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
You heard it here, guys, gals and folks and everyone.
So he and I got together, and he decided to make some T-shirts, and I decided to do a video. And we've always been fascinated by the 1970s television show Mary Tyler Moore, particularly the opening credits during many of the seasons, had a half a second sequence of Mary Tyler Moore tossing meat into a shopping cart. It was supposed to be a commentary on inflation at the time. This would have been mm-hmm. the 70s. So we created a whole installation on a wall based on that one half second clip.
Wow.
He did T-shirts of her, you know, posed like that, yeah, in a freeze frame. That's what I'm looking for. And then we had the clip of Mary, you know, on a loop, doing that on a loop over and over from the actual show. And then Will and I went to ShopRite very late at night, and we imitated her doing this. We each shot each other and tried to make it as exactly like the Mary Tyler Moore shot as we could. We put all three of them on a loop and had them running nonstop, and then we had the T-shirts, and that's how I kind of was introduced to Circle 46 Gallery, even though I already knew Tom and I knew the people that ran it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience. It was a great show overall.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another, and I was asked by them to do a residency, and I decided to hook up with this old television station that's a cable access community public access television stations that's been around for, I keep hearing different numbers, but it's something, what is it, Tom, like 42 years, something like that?
I think so. I know it's definitely younger than me.
Yeah, yes. But it's been around. It was from the broadcast television days. It's called HUD TV, and it was centralized in Hudson, New York. And they kind of went, you know, when things started moving to streaming and broadcast television and antennas were cut off, they kind of faded away, but the people were still there and the studio was still there. Mm. The studio was originally in what is now the Basilica. It was in a small office in the, you know, the old barn, which I don't know if you remember. It was a glue factory.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Isn't that right, Tom?
Is that where the back gallery is?
Maybe, yeah. Oh, maybe it was in there somewhere. And then they actually moved after that when the Basilica opened. Mm-hmm. And they were in the lighthouse right on the Hudson River. Yeah, the television station broadcast out of the little miniature lighthouse.
Oh, that sounds so dreamy.
Yeah. And they used to take a kayak to the station every day. And I can't believe they did that. So anyway, they moved around, and eventually they ended up at Green Street Studios. So I hooked up with these people, and I said, let's give HUD TV, this old Hudson television station that's just fallen apart at the seams, let's give them a new home in this gallery, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to curate some of the shows, but I'm going to just let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And so it's been an interesting ride so far. They have nowhere to – they keep – creating shows, but they keep broadcasting them out into the air, and they have nowhere to show them. So I capture some of them and I put them on YouTube. And the station is run by this guy. He's quite old now. His name is Leopold Chartwell. He's kind of a character, and he has some of his old cohorts that are on the station. He has like this guy that's been around. He's an old Borscht Belt comedic, you know, legend. At least he'll tell you that. And he has a show on there that's very popular called Trap Door to Stardom. And they're a bit hard to work with. I was also hired as a correspondent, and I host a few shows on the television station as well. Mm-hmm. So that's how this all came about. And we're trying to get the word out about HUD TV and trying to get it off the ground again in this new modern technological age. If you go to HUD TV, if you go to the Green Street Studio website, what is it, Tom?
46greenstreetstudios.com.
Right. So there's some links that can and take you, and you can see some of the programs.
So
that,
will it take us to a link to YouTube?
I believe so, right? Am I wrong?
I think it takes you to YouTube.
Yeah. Hey. We'll fix it. Yeah. You can also, I put some on, like I said, on my own personal YouTube, which my YouTube is MarkAllenCam. That's Mark Allen Cam. That's my name on YouTube. And you can see some there. You can also see some at my Instagram, MarkAllenNYC. And it's been an interesting thing being in the studio at HUD TV. I mean, they have a whole operation. They're making shows all the time, very sporadically, sometimes at 2 in the morning. They have cooking shows. They have adventure shows. They have shows where they review art shows around on Warren in some of the Warren Street galleries. They have, like I said, a talent show called Trap Door to Stardom. Mm-hmm. They have a wildlife show where they had somebody dress up in a deer costume and run in front of traffic on the streets in Hudson, New York. Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't know if it was legal, but it was interesting to see.
Film it first, ask later.
Yes, I think that's their motto, HUD TV's motto.
Ask later.
They have a lot of paperwork in their office, but I don't think they actually read the paperwork. Like a lot of
they just
offices
look at
Hudson.
It and sigh. They just kind of look at it and go, ah.
Or grunt, I would say in Leopold's case. But let's see, they have a really fun show that I just thought was so neat called The Hudson Hammers. And it's hosted by these guys, I forget their names, they were like Swedish or something, Svar and Balthor or something. And they're big heavy metal fans. And they have a band around town called Maggot Brunch. You may have seen them playing. I think they played at the Maker one time and it was like a total disaster.
How was it a disaster?
Well, you know, they smash their guitars and they have pyrotechnics and they usually have like a pig head on stage. And,
that's extreme. Their cost of production must be.
And they're always playing at the wrong places. So anyway, I watched in the editing booth, I watched their footage of one of their shows, and they're really excited about the renovations that are coming to the 7th Street Park in Hudson, New York, because they've noticed with one of their drones, if you go overhead, some of the new designs kind of form a pentagram, and they're really into Satan worship and things like that. So they went to the park in the middle of the night, and they did like a satanic, you know, ritual, and they had a pig head and everything, and it was insane. I couldn't believe they did it.
They're taking their genre to a whole new level.
Well, there's a whole like heavy metal and grindcore and death rock scene in Hudson. It's very underground.
Really?
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Wow.
There's also a show hosted by the Hudson Historic Preservation Society called mm-hmm. 1 Minute of Condescension. And
just one
it feels like an hour. There's another show called Phone It In Hudson that's an old style cable access, you know, standard show in front of a green screen where people can call in using a landline and just talk on the air, because you know with cable access you can say anything.
You've got to have access.
You do have to have access. Well, back then you could just have an antenna. Now it's harder. You have to find it online.
Yeah.
But they don't have to deal with FCC like much like you do here at WGXC. Mm-hmm. They can just say whatever they want. So they have a call-in show. The number is 197-MEEE. The extra E is for extra something. There's a fashion show called Influencer Salad.
Oh.
There's also some problems that I've noticed on the station. People can buy airtime on HUD TV. And we've already had some problems because some sketchy characters are buying ads. Did you see the one, Tom, of that?
Oh, the contractor?
Yeah, the contractor.
Yeah.
This guy named Carl around town. There's a lot of sketchy non-licensed contractor.
But the thing I notice, he's really honest about his sketchiness.
Yes.
It's a interesting flip.
Yes.
Hey, get it? Flipping houses?
Yeah. Yes, if he gets around to it. He's one of these contractors that'll take the money and then it never quite flips.
Right.
But we have some sketchy people buying ads. I think Leopold actually gave him the ad space because probably he promised him to build his new porch or something, which probably never happened.
For those of you just chiming in here, we are talking to Mark Allen about HUD TV, some of the programming that is going on, and Tom McGill from Green Street Studios and Circle 46 Gallery.
Which is the new home.
Is the home of HUD TV. Very exciting. I can't wait to tune in. And is there a particular program that you are most jazzed about? Dare I say jazzed?
Well, I mean, I have a few programs. I am a kind of a co-host of one show of this cook around town. His name's Will, and he cooks things from local, you know, locally sourced plants and things that grow around town. So I host that show. That's coming up. We filmed one already where he makes hors d'oeuvres and pesto sauce out of poison ivy, because you may have noticed that a lot of poison ivy grows.
So why not use it?
Yeah, he ended up in the hospital. It was a little tragic, but it was locally sourced food. And but I also have another show where I review restaurants around town. And
They be excited or they should be scared?
I'm going to be honest with my reviews of local restaurants on Warren Street. It's called Just the Tip, and it's a review of restaurants around town. We have a local business show that reviews local businesses and shops called Shoplifter.
Not an invitation for those of you coming up to the city for the weekend, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. It is. Enjoy some poison ivy pesto and go shoplifting. There's a show where I'm kind of proud of the one show I did where I review all the bathrooms of every art gallery in town.
Ooh, what's the... can you give us the skinny?
No, you have to watch the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I was honest in those reviews, too.
Do you have a favorite?
I do have a favorite. I will tell you who my favorite... Do you want to know what my favorite art gallery bathroom in Hudson is?
Of course.
I hope it's yours, Tom.
I hope so, too.
Okay, it's a little complicated.
It's not yours, Tom.
That's okay.
It's no, the Green Street Gallery got a high rating for their bathroom because you have several bathrooms in the gallery.
We have two
bathrooms. That alone, because you have more than one, bumps it up.
We have options,
Yes. Much like TSL, they have like 16 bathrooms.
Oh,
that
glorious.
Place is fabulous.
Glorious.
Yeah. They got high ratings,
too.
They have great bathrooms. But Green Street Studio has one bathroom that's like fake wood paneling. Am I wrong, Tom?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah, that bathroom is fabulous. So my favorite bathroom in all of Hudson, it's a little complicated. It's at the Basilica. And, you know, there's that new gallery space in the Basilica next to it, the back gallery, I think it's called, that has its own brand new bathrooms that are nice. But before those bathrooms were built and you went to see a show at the backroom gallery, you had to use the bathrooms inside the Basilica. Have you been in those bathrooms inside the old Basilica, you know, whenever you go to the concert or something?
Oh, yeah. But you're like basically holding hands with 10 other people, right? It's a pretty open affair.
Yes, but it's nice. And if you shut the stalls, you have tons of privacy.
That's true.
There's so much open space in that bathroom.
Yeah.
And everywhere you turn, there's running water. It always works. There's also sound, natural sound coverage in that bathroom.
Yeah.
I've been in there many times.
Yeah.
I used to go to our openings at the Backstreet Gallery before they had the new bathrooms built. You had to go across the little, you know, grass alley, whatever it is, and use those bathrooms. And it was always such a pleasant experience.
I remember going and thinking, this would be a great, like, apartment.
Yes, you could live in
you
that bathroom.
You could live in that bathroom. Yeah.
All, space is important in bathrooms because a lot of these renovated spaces in Hudson, you know, everything's very, you know, tiny, teeny. But another great one is the Hudson Hall gallery bathroom.
Agreed.
Because the ceilings are enormous. They have those huge, almost like glass brick windows. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sitting in the stall. It's like you're at the bottom of a well. You know, you can look at it. It's so big.
I feel like they should have an award or some physical evidence of their high rating. Like they should, you know, have something like a how people have an A+.
Sure.
Like a Best of Columbia County.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Of that course. Little sticker. They should have that for their bed. Did you tier it like 1, 2, 3, top 10?
Yeah, well, I gave score 1 out of 10. Well, I'll have to speak to Leopold Chartwell about it. You know, perhaps an award. We could have an award show for the best art gallery bathroom in Hudson. But for now, you'll just have to tune into the show and see who gets high ratings and who gets low ratings.
Oh, boy.
Can you say which art gallery bathroom had the best art?
Yeah,
I really wasn't paying attention to the art. I was really there to see the bathrooms of the.
In the bathroom. Did any of the bathrooms have art in the bathroom?
Oh, I will tell you, the ones that did have art hanging didn't get high ratings.
Oh, we have art.
There is a bathroom. I have to say, Robin Rice Gallery.
I've been to Robin Rice's gallery. Bathroom.
Fantastic gallery. I love her shows. Her bathroom. It is an adventure unto itself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's a wonderful experience.
Should whether you are doing an adventure?
Shouldn't anything?
It depends on how old you are.
What was that bank on Warren Street? Was it Berkshire Bank? It was like their tagline was something like making banking an adventure or exciting.
Oh,
like,
really?
I don't want banking to be exciting nor an adventure.
Well, if everybody starts saying that, like, whatever they do should be an adventure, people are going to be exhausted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We already are.
Yeah, we already are. Yeah. No, it's going to take the spark out of the entire word.
So to circle back, to use a slightly tired phrase, this is what HUD TV is about. It has this kind of programming, and they've been doing this kind of programming for decades. Mm-hmm. And I think they're really excited to be in their new home. I think some of the old staff members are particularly happy that the Green Street Studios are right next to the liquor store. Mm-hmm. But Tom, we're
at a laundromat.
And a laundromat right across the street.
All right, so you could technically have a really great Friday night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You really could.
Right?
Yeah, riding inside those dryers after a bottle of Fireball. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. But, Tom, I believe HUD TV is having a ribbon-cutting a ceremony soon, right, at Green Street Studios to welcome them to the new home?
That is correct. We are really excited to have HUD TV. And it's what we think about it like this, the way in which vinyl's coming back and is really chic. Like, HUD TV is old, but it's new. It's fresh because it's so not fresh.
Right. Well, younger generations are discovering, like, exactly. You know, analog television.
Yeah.
It's so not fresh, it's fresh.
So we're going to have a ribbon cutting on Saturday, August 2nd.
Correct.
At 3 p.m., rain or shine.
Yeah.
And you can count on hearing from Leopold Chartwell.
He's the owner. Yeah, he'll be there. I think he's going to bring some of the cast members of some of the shows to make an appearance. And maybe he'll give a little speech, and I think you guys are going to give a little speech, and then maybe there'll be a little tour of the studio inside.
Sure. Will Leopold be willing to take questions?
Oh, of course, I think. I mean, if we can get him up at 3 p.m., I mean, you know what he's like.
Does he need a green room? Does he need any specific
No, he's no-nonsense. He's a little too no-nonsense, if you ask me. But no, he's just going to come out and give a speech. And but I hope we can get him up in time. He sleeps very late.
Right. Well, that's why we made it 3.
Yeah, we had 3. I think we'll be okay. We'll be okay. He's grumpy, but once he gets in front of a microphone and the cameras are there, he'll kick into gear.
So I don't really speak with him.
Yeah, he's
an enigma.
Annoying.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's a very annoying guy. He's very set in his ways, and
but you have to be to run to be a part of a television station, don't you?
I suppose so. I mean, if you could call HUD TV a television station, it's strange. You know, there's a lot of things like this in Hudson that have been around for a long time.
Can I, an old
boys or old school network, you know, and HUD TV is definitely part of that.
Is this an appropriate question to ask? Who's your dream sponsor?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for the station. I'm just a host of some of the shows. Leopold will have to answer that. I'm sure he would say whatever the highest paying, you know, Pepsi Cola. You know, he dreams big, but the reality is much smaller.
Well, I would be willing to make a guess. There is a shop. I want to say it's across the street from the park on Warren. I think it's called Suddy's.
Yes.
I think that'd be a great sponsor.
Well, Suddy's. Well, yeah. I've heard. No one's there. It's empty.
Oh, perfect.
Well, oh,
perfect.
I thought they do a very small amount of business. I mean, it's been dark in there since I moved here 12 years ago.
Yeah, such.
Which is well, rare, so. It but, yeah. seems like they, it's really old. It seems like a perfect sponsor.
I think they probably did advertise on HUD TV probably many decades ago. We just don't know about it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, let's cycle just like vinyl. Yeah. Right. Let's bring it back.
There's
yeah.
There's a lot of old places. I think Antigua. Remember the old antique place on where they used to advertise. You know that weird place on Warren Street with that bizarre plant in the window? You know what I'm talking about? That looks like a giant thing from Doctor Who.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I think they used to.
I love that.
Yes, the plumbing place.
It's a plumbing place, but nobody wants to know about the plumbing. They only want to know about that plant.
Yeah, I always think it's like a. I remember being in Paris once, and it might have been an insect museum. And it was so bizarre and wonderful with all old wood and all of these plants. And it was so dreamy. And whenever and I'm not saying anything about this business. I do not think it has insects in it at all. All I am saying is that it has this very dreamy quality, right? This very, very dreamy quality from the outside. Like it just has this natural. I feel like I'm going to go in there and all of a sudden walk through the looking glass or walk through right? I'm going to go through the wardrobe and be on the other side and be on the other Narnia or something.
It's interesting that you say that because I think people that live in Hudson, if you mention that plant in that window of that plumbing store, it might take a few seconds, but like you did, you're immediately, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What the hell is that gosh darn plant? And I think they even put a sign
in
the window.
I love about it, that plant is older than I am.
It's resilient.
And that's, something amazing about it. That plumber has been plumbing in Hudson, I think, since the mid-1800s. Like they have a license that long, and that plant's been there. I mean, it's and HUD TV, it all resonates. Yeah.
It's another generation of the city. You know, I mean, these people go way back to 40 years ago. Maybe they started in the '70s, but I think that plant's much older.
But listen, way they've taken care of that plant, I would trust them to take care of my pipes.
There's
said.
A slogan.
Right?
I think your HUD TV is going to hire you to do the ad. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They'll buy you lunch.
Hey, that's a nice small
at the
thing.
Amtrak
okay.
station.
Ooh, gosh, nice. I'm trying to think. Delay. Do I want potato chips?
Yeah. Forget kitties.
Yeah.
Do they still have that concession stand at the Amtrak?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like it's open sporadically, maybe. It's the kind of thing where you cross your fingers, hope and pray before you take a train.
Much like
down.
You're usually doing when you get off the train at the Amtrak station in Hudson. And, crossing your fingers.
Crossing your fingers, hoping and praying.
So that's HUD TV. It's very old school. It's very... And I think Green Street Studios and myself, we're trying to resurrect this old cable access television show from a small town in upstate New York.
Yeah, and Green Street Studios and Circle 46 Gallery, I'm always so impressed and enamored with the shows you put on because they're always touching something that is current in the air. Whether it's politically or whether it's emotional, it's always sort of just trying to tap into what's going on now, even though there are themes that have always existed throughout time. It's human nature, human beings, what we go through. But you bring in, artists that have been doing art for decades, and then I've seen you bring in artists that have not been making art for decades, but it's always good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had this one show that might touch on one of the points of our mission, and that we really want to connect with the local community. Mm-hmm. I can remember growing up never going to a gallery or a museum and feeling really intimidated as a young adult to go into a gallery, because I didn't, you know, if you go to a white box in New York City, they don't make anybody feel welcome.
No.
And so if you have
that's
a record
of being
there,
isn't it?
So we had a show called The Love Show around Valentine's Day one year. And we invited high school students from Hudson High and from Hawthorne Valley School art classes, as well as, you know, established artists to submit pieces. And we hung them all together. And we didn't delineate or, you know, tell you who was who. And it was really interesting to see young artists feel empowered and at home in a place that I never would have felt that way.
Yeah.
And also members of the community. Like, one of the things I really like to try to do is have artists who are from the Hudson area, the Hudson Valley, you know, anywhere down to New York. Mm-hmm. But really try to focus on artists who are either haven't been represented or underrepresented, and whose work we like.
Yeah.
And it's been really satisfying to find artists who have gone on to show in many other galleries and see their work and their practice develop. So,
and show together, and to circle back and show together in a group show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always really fun.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting for us to be able to do that. And I feel like, you know, we have a responsibility to the community, to be part of the community, and that's one of the ways that we're trying to do that.
Yeah.
And we constantly want to strive to do more, but, like, that's one of the ways we concretely try to be in the community.
Well, it's felt 100%. And I also think you put up shows for, like, the perfect amount of time. You know, you cycle, you invite new ideas, new artists to come, but they have their time in the sun. It's not a quick process by any means, but I always feel like it's the perfect amount of time. Your shows, they run for the perfect amount of time, right? I get... How do you go into thinking about it? You want to make space for how many shows per year?
Well, ideally, like, I appreciate you saying that we seem to curate shows the ideal amount of time, but sometimes we let shows run because they're popular. Mm-hmm. So ideally what we'd like to do is have shows run about 6 weeks.
Okay.
And try to curate shows that turn over within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes it's not.
Like, yeah.
Dave and Bob co-own the gallery with me, and we all have
such
other
wonderful
jobs.
People.
Yeah, they're great. But since we all have other jobs, it's sometimes difficult for us to, you know, have that turnover happen.
Yeah.
We've definitely been focusing on making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be helpful now to have HUD TV in there, because there's always going to be somebody there.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great.
Lurking around. Lurking,
holding down the fort.
And then the other side of the gallery, we can curate in the same way. And we also have curated shows outside of the space.
Yes.
We did pop-ups in the Hamptons.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a while ago we were doing pop-ups in a house. So we curated the work in a house. We had a long weekend.
We guys are moving on up. Yeah. The Hamptons.
The Hamptons, right. Well, we went to the old, you know, Hudson's the new Hamptons now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We went to see how the old people did it.
Right, right.
You know,
learn from the best. We're going to learn
and,
from the best.
So, yeah, and I'm involved, if I, you know, with some people who are trying to keep Hudson Open Studios going. And one of the things that we're doing is we're having a pop-up gallery in August at 253 and a half Warren Street for artists who sign up and register for Hudson Open Studios, which will be October 11th and 12th.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, we are always trying to manage and curate artistic opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in our space, but outside of our space. Like we were talking before, we had a group of actors come up.
Yeah, well, you're not just a visual media. That's what I love, too. Yeah. It's not just visual. You expand beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We had a group called Adult Film, and they explore theater with each other. And they were doing a year-long exploration of Chekhov, and they did a retreat with us. And then the following year, they came and performed Seagull in the backyard. And they're up this weekend doing a retreat. I'm not sure if they're going to schedule exhibition mm-hmm. in the back of the space this year. But we love partnering with them because there's something about tapping into creativity outside of just two-dimensional, three-dimensional art.
Yeah.
It's like what Mark does is really great. You know, sort of political, social satire, mm-hmm. really fun video work. That's, you know, we want to really expand the definition of what fine art is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mm-hmm. just, you know, what you see in a museum.
Yeah.
It can find its way to you in different ways.
Yeah, and I love the collaboration, not just with artists, but with mediums, mm-hmm. you know. And I actually remember coming to the adult film. It was almost like a workshop. We were all outside. All I'll say is I was on my hands and knees in the grass, rolling around in the dirt.
You bought into the program.
I bought into the program. No,
you did something. You did something. You were moving stuff around, weren't you? Like, didn't you move? You were moving a chair around or something.
Well, they were. Well, they invite. You know, they yeah. invited the audience to participate. So it was audience participation. So we're kind of watching them do their thing, and then all of a sudden, and I've seen theater like this in LA where you're watching something, and then all of a sudden you're a part of the production and you're mm-hmm. part of the show, right? And sometimes it's obvious where they point to you and they ask you to come on stage. Sometimes they just start speaking to you and you're right. just a part of the show, right?
Yeah.
But it was something like that.
Yeah, but I also had this yeah. experience, if I may.
Yeah.
You were very competitive. And you were going to be the best.
Oh my God, this is...
You were working it. And you were the best, but you seem intent on...
Really?
I'm here. Look at me.
I'm sorry I missed this.
Oh, listen, that's great.
I was very like, you guys want us to bring it.
And you brought it.
We're going to
yeah.
bring it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody hold back, okay? Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think I like hurt my knee and I was like, oh, God, yes. Mama's got to sit down. yeah. But I was all for that. I mean, I just love that. I think it's so brave when people show up and don't know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whether they're the audience member or the performer, and then they all just sort of get into the mud together.
Yep. Yep. Well, we definitely want to do more stuff out back. Mm-hmm. We have a little deck, and we want to try to have some music, have some theater, some spoken word stuff. So that's going to be, you know, part of our ongoing programming.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is so exciting. So exciting. So if you're just joining us or catching the end of this, we are talking about HUD TV, which is located in Green Street Studios in Circle 46 Gallery. I'm talking to Tom McGill and Mark Allen. And we're talking about past programming, current programming, upcoming programming mm-hmm. in the art sphere and also the HUD TV sphere. Did you tell us, were there any more,
well,
any more upcoming programming you wanted to...
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I can't speak for the station per se. I'm only an employee, but you'd have to speak to some of the station owners. Why don't we take a listen, actually, to Leopold Chartwell?
Oh, perfect.
He's giving a little speech here. He had to.
So he's the host.
He's the owner.
He's
the owner and CEO of the
it.
Station. He doesn't have any shows.
Oh, okay.
So let's
but this
take
is
a,
him talking this about is him his talking. Vision.
This is a public service announcement by Leopold Chartwell, President and CEO of HUDTV.
Hello. My name is Leopold Chartwell. I'm the President and CEO of HUDTV. I'd like to apologize to viewers who were offended during one of last week's programs. Thank you.
So that's Leopold's energy.
He yeah. seems steadfast. He seems grounded.
Yeah, he seems like he's been around a really long time. Yeah, I'm glad they're near the graveyard and the liquor store.
Yeah, can you say there was an incident he was referring to?
I'm not sure what it was. I think he recorded that because he knew he'd need to use it. I think they're offending people left and right.
Oh.
You know, one of his best friends is Hank Mazzi, the Borscht Belt comic. They're both relics. But his style of comedy is not going to fly in today's, you know, political atmosphere. And so I think he recorded that because he knew that some of Hank Mazzi's jokes wouldn't work.
Mm, yeah. So this is just in anticipation. Okay. Hey, you know, that's what a good station CEO does. They plan ahead.
That's correct. Yeah. It's in the.
I wouldn't say they plan ahead. I think there were lawyers involved. They planned after the fact. Yeah, these guys don't have it together. HUD TV. I mean, we love HUD TV, but it's very much a symbol of the old school network. The old boys network. Right. In upstate New York. You know, you see it a lot. I hate to use that term, but you know, it's people that are really set in their ways in these small towns. Mm-hmm.
But this small town, I feel these small towns are growing exponentially, if not in housing.
Don't watch out.
In attitude. No, just right. They're growing. Mm-hmm. They're growing. More people are coming here, whether it's for the weekend or for the summer or. And I don't know. I'm not going to get on what pros and cons or whatnot. Nothing is black and white.
Do you ever have one of those. House guests come, never leave.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening.
You mean my husband? People are... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not married.
That's what's happening. People are just not leaving.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I first moved to upstate New York, it was funny how, let me backtrack, when I first moved to New York City in 1990, you know, me and two friends from Texas moved up here, and we noticed that all of a sudden all our old friends from Texas were calling us every other weekend, like, hi, just letting you know, we'd love to come visit and stay with you for, like, you know, 2 weeks. And it's got so out of control, we alienated people, we kept having to say no to people.
Yep.
And it was really tough, and it was hard, because people just invited themselves to come, because we lived in New York, and they didn't. That all calmed down. Years later, I moved to upstate New York, right? With my partner. We actually moved to Catskill in 2018, I think. And all of a sudden, our friends from New York started calling upstate to do the exact same thing. I just wanted to let you know, we have a car and we have a sense of adventure if you want to invite us. You know, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
I mean, you move to these places.
Reverse. Yeah. It's reverse for me. I'm like, hey, so I've got an extra bedroom. We can have dinner outside. I've got the garden all ready for you with fairy lights.
Wow,
so
yeah,
I'm
that's
the one,
so upstate.
I think, trying to, like, you know, get my friends to come visit for a couple days.
And good for you.
Yeah.
That's
I like hosting, I guess. And I've had some really great house guests, will say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think luckily my friends and the people in my life have happened to be. Well, I have two house guests that'll come and stay with me, John and Adam, and they live in the city, and they are wonderful. Their dog, Wanda, is wonderful. And it's almost like they come over and I'll come into the kitchen and he's whipping up like a pasta sauce from scratch.
Oh,
nice.
And
wait, the dog is doing this?
Wanda, yeah. Oh. No.
I literally heard that.
I mean,
I'm getting delirious.
She's watching John while he does it.
Oh, I got you.
But,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I'm like, anytime you want
a side of LSD.
Yes, we all took some. No, just kidding. But yeah, so I actually am probably the one who's trying to get house guests.
Well, thank you. That's a value. You need the keys
embrace
to the
it.
City.
Embrace yeah. it.
That's yes. right.
How about
the
you,
rest
Tom?
Of us are cynics.
I'll have a house guest.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as they leave.
Well, that's.
I've had people not leave.
Wow.
Well, I think 48 hours is the absolute limit for a house guest.
Wow.
Have you had them stay longer than 48 hours?
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about house guests.
Oh.
But I've had people come and never leave.
Oh, wow. There's a lot. You know, we've got a minute left, and that's a lot to unpack, which we will. We will unpack that. But thank you so much, Tom McGill and Mark Allen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simone.
It's been such a pleasure.
I had a wonderful
time.
On.
Yeah, it was so super fun. And oh my gosh, I can't believe it goes by so fast. You
it
know?
Does.
So get out there and enjoy this beautiful Hudson Valley life and make dreams come true. I don't know who I was for the last 5 seconds, but anyway, WGXE, ICRA 90.7. Thanks, guys. And bye. We're out. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. We've got a minute left, you guys.
And so anyway.
So we'll say goodbye.
So anyway,
about
so
that dog making
three,
the pasta sauce.
When I was three, that's when I first really started seeing the color blue.
Oh,
really?
Were you colorblind?
I'm just kidding. I just had to come up with something because we have a minute left.
I'm in a movie.
You're in a movie?
You're in a movie. What movie?
Okay, now you officially do have about 30 seconds. Quick.
It's going to be screening at the Greenpoint Film Festival on August 9th at 8 o'clock. Short film called Chum.
Oh.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What, you buried the lead. You didn't talk about this whole time.
Chum, like in Jaws, like fishing?
I play a lobsterman.
That tracks.
Because Chum is also like